Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond.
Well, you know what I think? It's funny, we're at the gym the other day. We saw the other father sons over there, and you're saying
stinky
like,
ones.
And they actually work. The stinky ones. They actually work out together.
Sorry, you're stinky.
Yeah, but you know, to see people like that, and then for us to, I feel like I'm finally getting to the level where I can work out with you. But before, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, it's just the opposite of working out.
Just the opposite.
Thanksgiving. Oh my
Thanksgiving.
Gosh. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Gosh, I can't believe it's already here.
I know it is. Okay, serious question. What is that one Thanksgiving dish that you refuse to share?
So easy. It's ham for me.
You're not sharing ham.
I am a ham guy.
A ham hog.
Well, and then when you partner it with the homemade rolls, mm-hmm, you get a ham biscuit / sandwich. I mean, I would say it's a Jesus on a biscuit, so it's so good. You want to sop it up.
I do like that, getting like a roll and then some mashed potatoes and spreading on the roll.
No,
and then some cranberry sauce and some ham or turkey and making a little Thanksgiving sandwich.
Is that your non-negotiable?
You know, my non-negotiable is cranberry sauce.
Wow.
I grew up eating the canned cranberry jelly, but as I've gotten older and my taste buds have matured, I prefer the actual real cranberry sauce that's got real cranberries in it and that's not just a canned jelly.
Do you know how to make it?
No.
Oh. So on the side, let's talk about sides, because for me, what's so weird, at the end of every time we have Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about this later at Mimi and Papaw's, we always have this what was your favorite dish thing.
Yeah.
And it's so weird, mine's always the mashed potatoes of all things. For me, mashed potatoes are such a staple because for me, it's a glue. I used to not let my food touch. If we went to Cracker Barrel or Steakhouse or whatever, nothing could touch. I would literally have it in compartments or I'd ask for separate bowls. Mm-hmm. And Jaron Springer, who's CEO of Greater Nashville Realtors, he sits down every meal and mixes it together where it becomes like a soup. It's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. Hey, Jaron. but I've been one of those people where now I'm okay with things touching.
Yeah.
And mashed potatoes for me have now become the glue. Now, I'm not going to mix like Jaron does.
Yeah.
But I want my corn to go into it and then a little bit of the green beans. But I'll mix the corn in the mashed potato and sometimes a little piece of the green bean. But that mashed potato has become important
for me. It
sits
in the middle of the plate and anchors all the other food in. That's funny.
It does.
Do you like gravy?
No. Well, you know, gravy for me is a calorie add.
Yeah,
and I don't have to have it.
Well, Thanksgiving, we're not worried about calories. We're just worried about flavor and taste.
Well, you can say that, Mr. I'm always gaining weight on purpose, and I'm trying to keep mine down. So, sidewise, are you a mashed potato guy or what?
You know,
What's your starch?
I am very particular about mashed potatoes. For me, there is a very, very fine balance of whether it is too thick or too runny. And if mashed potatoes are soupy, or if mashed potatoes are too thin, I'm not going to eat them. I really like, you know, the homemade, you actually get potatoes and cut them up and then boil them down and then mash them yourselves and add butter and cream and a little bit of salt and pepper and some garlic powder. Those are my favorite kind of mashed potatoes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the first time I had mashed potatoes with the skin on them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because my mom was really meticulous about cutting the skins off. And so seeing mashed potatoes with skin on it when I first got to Nashville, I'm like, what kind of craziness is this? But anyway, you know, Thanksgiving's that one time of the year where, you know, food and family and all the chaos comes together in one place and, you know, somehow it still works.
Yeah. And today we're talking about things that we're thankful for, some of the gratitudes that we have, some of the traditions that shaped us, and maybe a little bit of Black Friday madness, too.
Let's start a little bit with Thanksgiving and what it looked like in your house. And as people know, we didn't grow up in the same household.
Right.
You know, of course, you weren't born when I was little, but, you know, of course, as a late-life adoption, we weren't together. But let's talk a little bit about our Thanksgiving traditions when we were growing up.
Sure. So for me, Thanksgiving was everybody and their dog came together. for Thanksgiving at Mamaw's house. And her name's Virginia, if you're listening. Hi, Virginia. That's the first time I've ever said her first name to her. She's awesome. Listening. But, yeah, we would all meet at Mamaw's house, and she had, you know, tables and tables and tables and tables and kids' tables. And you know, it was always a big deal when you graduated from sitting at the kids' table to going to sit at the adults' table. It's like a rite of passage, and it only happened around the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons because that was really the only time that everybody was all there together. But, you know, we would eat from probably starting at noon to about 6 p.m. We were all just eating. And it was not like a, there's courses that are served. It was more of like a buffet style. Think, I don't know what a good buffet is. Shoney's. Is Shoney's a buffet?
No, it's not. But you have like Golden Corral.
Oh, yeah, like Golden Corral. So tons of options and everything set up. And of course, the women in the house would typically be the ones that would get up and would replenish the dishes if we were running short on Little Smokies. Do you know what Little Smokies are?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, Little Smokies are amazing. One of my favorite things, too. But if they were running out of something, they would, you know, go and replenish the dish. So that was some of the things that we did. What about you? What was your Thanksgiving like?
This is, when I was going over the show thinking about recording this today, it was hard for me because, and if you're listening to this, Aunt Betty, mom, dad, all y'all, please don't take anything I'm going to say today as an insult. For me, this is a holiday as a whole thing. And for us, Thanksgiving, when my grandma, my mama, Ridner died, we kind of lost our Thanksgiving tradition. And we kind of, because mama was the glue, the mashed potatoes that held our family together. And she was a character. And we'd always go to her house. But then again, she passed away when I was like in second or third grade. So at that point, we kind of became nomads. We joined my Aunt Betty's house. And while Aunt Betty is like, she took the place of my grandma for me. I love my Aunt Betty. I love her. But it was her family there and her sons and their kids. And so it was our nuclear core. So for me, Thanksgiving, and even now, when we talk about now, it still feels a little bit orphaned for me.
Okay.
So we would go, once my mama Ridner died, we went to Aunt Betty's house, and she lived in a, if you remember the story from the Halloween episode about the circus peanuts coming off the, that was next door to her. Those circus peanuts was the next door over.
Okay.
My great grandmother lived next door to her. She had, and you will love this, she had about a 35 to 40 pound cat named Charlie.
Oh.
But keep in mind, she still has a Charlie. And it's almost 40 years later. She always keeps a big cat and names this Charlie every single time.
Okay.
And she vacuums her cats. They're enormous. She has this way. I really do think they're mountain cats that are kind of like crossbred. So the cat would always be around. I remember that a lot. And we'll talk a little bit later about my discrimination against certain traditions during Thanksgiving and how I do things now when it comes to holidays.
Sure.
But, you know, it was a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We didn't have tables or anything. You pretty much found a corner you could sit in and with your plate, and you would huddle there and eat. All the traditional stuff, my Aunt Betty was a delicious cook. I mean, she would put butter on butter. It was just spectacular. Wonderful chicken and dumplings. Wonderful turkey. She had a way of making turkey actually good.
Yeah.
So my memories, while they didn't feel belonging, they're wonderful because my Aunt Betty's so wonderful and just a spectacular woman. Yeah. So yeah,
that was I've got two stories about Thanksgiving that are kind of, one of them is a core memory and one of them is just a funny memory that I look back on. So I'll tell the funny one first. I have a biological brother named Alec, and he is 22 months younger than me. So one year at Thanksgiving when we were, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, so he's 10 or 11 years old. We are at the at my mama's house for Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden we're all sitting there and we start smelling smoke.
Gosh.
And, you know, it's Thanksgiving, so there's lots of food being cooked, and so we're kind of freaked out about what's going on. So we smell smoke, and then, you know, Mama finally realizes where it's coming from because they're scouring the house trying to figure out what's burning.
There's a fire.
And so it's coming from the bathroom in the back hall. by the two guest bedrooms in my mama's house, which is where, you know, all the grandkids would stay when they came over. So she goes back there and looks, and in the toilet bowl is a charred roll of toilet paper. And they finally, you know, pulled the confession out of my little brother. He went to the bathroom, and after he washed his hands, there was no towel in there to dry his hands off on.
Oh, gosh.
So he grabbed some toilet paper. And while he was drying his hands off with the toilet paper, he decided to light it on fire with the candle that was burning in there. Because he was a pyromaniac. He wanted to see what would happen.
Oh, gosh.
So he held the toilet paper roll over the edge of the flame, and the whole thing became engulfed in flames. And he panicked, and he threw it in the toilet and then tried to flush it down to get rid of the evidence.
Oh, my gosh.
And it backed up the toilet and the sewer system. And the house smelled like smoke, and there was this big charred roll of toilet paper. And so, you know, my papa got some wooden spatulas and spoons and just laid into him, wore his butt out. I'm talking about, we heard him screaming on the other side of the house.
Gosh.
And he probably deserved it because, you know, it was almost arson.
And you said you had two stories?
Yeah, I had two stories.
So can I tell mine and then tell yours? Okay, I also have two also. Were you done with the Alec one though?
Yep.
I felt like you were there. I didn't want to interrupt you there. But we want a nice flow for our audience. Mine, this is again weird. There was a tradition of me getting sick every Thanksgiving.
Mm.
One of us was sick. And so many of my Thanksgiving days, because back then you just didn't, if you went, you know, it wasn't like, well, we're sick, we're going to stay home. No, you went. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to my Aunt Betty's back bedroom and I would be sick as a dog. And, you know, have to come out and socialize. But there was always a virus that would hit our family, usually around Wednesday. And at least two of us would be really, really sick. And it would typically be me. Mm. So it was always weird because we're like, here comes Thanksgiving. Who's going to get sick?
Yeah.
And then the food would start cooking. And then so a lot of times I didn't get to eat the food growing up just because I was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And what reminded me of that was you, when you started the Alec story mm-hmm. about the commode. And uh-huh. I thought, and we looked in the commode, I went, oh no, that triggered yeah. in my brain. It was like, I had a commode, but it was not burning. It was burning in a different way.
Yeah. So, I don't think I've ever been sick on a major holiday. Let me knock on some wood in here real quick because I don't want that to happen either. But so the other story that I have is the one that's kind of a core memory.
Okay.
And this is part of my coming out story. So I came out, you know, I was, I think, 18. I could have been 19, but I started college when I was 17. So I was probably 18. Went home for Thanksgiving. And around the Thanksgiving dinner table, our family's tradition each year was to go around and say what we're thankful for. You know, it was this kind of spectacle. And it felt very put on the older I got, but I just played along with it. So, you know, we would all sit around and, you know, the eldest family member would start with, I'm thankful for XYZ. And then the next person, I'm thankful for ABC. The next person, and so on and so forth. And so it finally gets to me. And, you know, I'm thankful for this amazing school year that I've had. I'm thankful that I had these great scholarships this year, that I've found some incredible musicians at college. And then I said, and I'm thankful for a family that will love me even though I'm gay.
Mm.
And there was complete and utter silence at the table for about 5 seconds, and then chaos ensued. Mm. And I grew up in a hyper, hyper religious family. Pentecostal Assembly of God. If you know, you know. I don't need to say anything. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
And so whenever I, after those 5 seconds of silence where you could literally have heard a pin drop or you could have heard a fly land on the turkey, I experienced a lot of Bible pushing and Bible verses being screamed at me and oil and all this kind of stuff. And so I kind of had to flee the scene. And it's kind of dramatic, and it is a dramatic retelling of the story. But, you know, that was one of the core memories that I had from Thanksgiving. And it was just, it shaped, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the family episode next week, but it shaped my understanding of family during that period of my life, because these were people that I had grown up with for 18 years who had talked about the unconditional love of Christ. And I came out, and suddenly none of that mattered. So that's one of the core memories that I have from Thanksgiving. Sorry, I know it's not super fun or flashy, but you know, it's a part of who I am, and Thanksgiving is when that happened, and so it's important that I share that. And you know, if you're dealing with coming out or with, you know, questions about who you are, your sexuality, don't pick Thanksgiving to do it.
That was going to be my next.
Don't pick Thanksgiving to do it. It's not a good time.
Well, I was going to ask that question. It's like, now do you have timing things? Because when I'm sitting here listening to that, I'm like, I try to stay in love and out of judgment. I'm sitting here going, Zach, which, I, you know, back then, I, you know, 17, 18-year-old Zach is different. But, you know, it's kind of like, and that's one of the advice I give to people when one girl called me up and she said, hey, my cousin's wanting to come out. And he's, because the only time the family's together.
Yeah.
You're not together on Thursday, February the 17th.
Yeah.
Y'all are not together at that point.
You want to rip the whole Band-Aid off.
So it's like, this is the only time everybody's together. And I can't stomach having 27 talks with individual people and go through this trauma.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when she called me, I was like, hey, Thanksgiving's not the best time for it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that holiday to be attached. It's like, well, that's the time this happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... So understand if a family member does that's part of the issue is, you know,
yeah.
you got to think about getting together more as a family
yeah.
so you can have that love and everything. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. I didn't know that story. So,
yeah.
For me, mine's a little level of less trauma,
okay.
I should say. And mine comes with a hate for paper plates.
Okay.
Y'all, I'm going to look at the camera. If you're not watching, I'm going to look at you right now. I hate paper plates. If you ever ask me to your house, look at me. If you ever ask me to your house and you serve me on a paper plate, I hate them because of holidays.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what would happen is we would go and they wouldn't get the really nice, I mean, this is the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Now the paper plates are.
The technology,
you know, is so much better. But
paper
plates. Back then, you literally had these things that were one step above a paper towel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Flimsy.
And you weren't allowed to get two or three of them. You could use one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're piling stuff on, and then I would be in a corner with that paper plate, and things would be seeping all over the place. And you know, I was talking about I didn't like things to touch.
Yeah.
So I just got this phobia almost, a disdain for paper plates.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, when I grow up and I'm hosting everything myself,
mm-hmm.
we will eat on real plates.
Yeah.
And so I don't have control over Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that later in this episode. And we have a Christmas episode coming up.
Yeah.
So I hate to talk about it then, but it's just, I'm going to have to talk about it now, there's a reason you have fine china. Most people don't use their china. They put it on these wedding registries. They have these heirlooms, and it sits there in the curio cabinet
uh-huh.
for years and never comes out. This is your time to be fancy.
Yeah.
This is your time to get tablecloths. This is your time, and I'm jumping ahead, but I hate paper plates. So that's a memory of mine. Again, I love you, Mom. I love you, Aunt Betty. And y'all, I've had this talk with my mom, but not Aunt Betty. I hate paper plates. So my memory is that core memory of where my hate for paper plates began.
Yeah, well, you've kind of talked about it, but you know, my next question to you was, how has Thanksgiving changed for you now? And clearly,
it hasn't.
Clearly, now
it's not.
You know, you still have a disdain for paper plates, but you know, I've experienced the Bullard Copeland Thanksgiving.
The what?
The Bullard Copeland Thanksgiving.
I thought you said the Bullard COVID. I was like,
no,
what?
The Bullard Copeland Thanksgiving, and it's wonderful. You know, y'all. Sometimes we use real plates.
Well, we're at different houses,
yeah.
So now Thanksgiving for us looks like, and again, too much of our family detail, but, you know, Greg's father passed, and Thanksgiving changed a lot at that point, because mm-hmm. the whole family would leave usually on Tuesday and stay in Hartselle, Alabama through, you know, Friday.
Yeah.
Well, now Greg's mom, you know, she has her limitations with company and that kind of thing. And so This year with Thanksgiving, we just don't know what we're doing.
Really?
This year, yeah. I don't have the plans yet.
Bring them up here.
Well, the plan, well, that ain't going to happen. You know Greg's brothers. They're going to be like, we ain't going anywhere.
They're not
going
to listen to this podcast so we can talk about it.
Can we go hunting? Because that's another thing that happened when I was growing up and still now. People go hunting during Thanksgiving. It's like, can we not eat and y'all not go hunting just yet? I know there's deer and rabbit and squirrel and skunk and whatever tarnation y'all are about to kill and cook. But can we just wait?
Yeah.
You know, because I remember Thanksgiving, and still with now, they come in with all their muddy boots after hunting and everything. Mm-hmm. Again, something I just don't understand. Some of us come out on Thanksgiving. Some of us go hunting on Thanksgiving. So
polar opposites.
So now, you know, we go to Alabama, and it used to be that, I, you know, my parents, they don't have really, they moved to Nashville. There's no place for them to spend Thanksgiving. So I felt this guilt. And so I started saying, hey, we finish at Greg's dad's parents' house at around, you know, 2. Well, I can make it to mom and dad's house easily by 4.
Yeah.
So I started leaving and going back to Nashville for Thursday night. Well, the littles, before you were even in the family, they were like, well, we want to go to Mimi and Papaw's too. Well, that, of course, that created some hurt feelings with Greg. And why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We live in Nashville.
Yeah.
My family lives here. I see my family. They're there every single day that I want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Greg only gets to see his family like 2 or 3 times a year. It's not fair. Mm-hmm. I get that. But with holidays, you want to be with, you know, I didn't want my mom and dad to be alone.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yeah. And so now the way the traditions flow now is we're at the Bullards usually on Wednesday and Thursday morning. We leave there and head on up to mom and dad's. And, you know, Anne, Greg's mom, I swear, is one of the best cooks I've ever eaten her food in my life. I know you like spicy and all that stuff, but when it comes to good old home cooking, Anne Bullard is the best.
Yeah.
Her chicken and dumplings make me see heaven every now and then. We do eat on real plates there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll let me eat on a real plate. I mean, Greg's real big about saying you got to give Brian a real plate.
Yeah.
Mom and dad, real plates, because I've articulated everyone, you know, I will, you know, I want that. So at mom and dad's, you know, my nieces, they're real big into making really designer stuff, you know, different mac and cheeses that are really good. My brother is a crazy good chef.
Yeah.
So he can bring some amazing things. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of what we're doing now. It's funny because, you know, your dad, Greg, is a great cook. He doesn't get to cook Thanksgiving.
Yeah. He doesn't. You know, when I first met y'all, that was one of the things that pulled me in the most, honestly, was his home cooking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is just an incredible cook.
Yeah.
He cooks with so much love, and that's one of the most important ingredients in a meal is love. You know, but to talk about some of the ways that as an adult now Thanksgiving has changed for me versus as a child, it's night and day. You know, as a child, I grew up in a divorced home, so every holiday was doubled. I would, you know, while I would spend the actual holiday with one set of the parents, sometime in that week, I would go to the other set of parents and celebrate with their family. So I always had 2 Thanksgivings, always had 2 Christmases, 2 Easters, you know, 2 Halloweens, all of those things. And now it's so much simpler. You know, there's still, you know, we go down to Hartzell for part of the day and then come up and celebrate the rest of the day with the family here in Nashville. So there's still a little bit of that travel involved. But the core nuclear family is the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a kid growing up in a divorced house, people who have not experienced a divorce or who have not grown up in a divorced house, these are just things that you don't think about.
Yeah.
Because you haven't experienced them. But everything is split. And so as a kid, you know, there is 50% joy in, oh, I get 2 of these moments. But then the other 50% is, as I'm leaving to go see this other family, the family that I was with all day, now that I'm leaving them, they're all complaining about me having to leave and making me feel guilty as the child for it.
Oh.
And this is part of something that I didn't ask for. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't ask for my parents to get divorced. I didn't ask for you know, a judge to decree that certain visitation expectations have to be right. met. And so if you're the parent of a divorced, or if you're the parent of a kid who is in a divorced situation, if you're the grandparent of a kid who's in a divorced family situation, just remember that while two of everything sounds great, the language that you use as the adults in that situation about what's going on really matters and is really important, because it can shape how that kid feels about themselves. Yeah. So just wanted to share that.
And I know we think Thanksgiving and all of our holiday episodes we'll be doing in the coming weeks, and we think happiness, mm-hmm. but the holidays are rough on some people.
Yeah.
You know, at our church, you know, we're dealing a lot with food insecurity. We run one of the largest food pantries in Middle Tennessee, specifically for this community, especially for queer folk. Mm-hmm. And it's tough on people. Some people don't know where their meal is going to come from. Some of them have major trauma from these kind of things of fights and arguments or abuse in the families together, and that one uncle who did abuse to someone. The holidays aren't always easy on somebody. So yep. it's also got to be a mental health check-in. And I know this is supposed to be a happy episode, but we just got
to
be honest.
Yeah, we'll get this some happy stuff.
Yeah, this is not on our outline today either, but we got to be cautious about holidays. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, everybody's so sensitive today, all this stuff. Well, yeah, I'm sensitive because I love people.
Yeah, it's called humanity.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that you don't want to look at someone and go, well, I remember I was in a restaurant once with someone who was very unself-aware. It was mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C., and it's Mother's Day. And as we're walking up the stairs, every woman he sees says, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. And one woman was just kind of like really put off by it. And he kind of got real gross about it. He was a jerk about it. So we sat down. I was like, have you thought that perhaps that woman had a miscarriage? Mm-hmm. Did you ever think that perhaps that woman you wish to just lost her child? You're assuming every woman. You ever think that woman cannot have children and has tried and had 20 miscarriages?
Yeah.
And you're wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day. And he still was completely
oblivious.
Not oblivious. He did not care.
Okay.
And so that's where I go to when we're thinking about, I'm still saying wish people happy Thanksgiving or hey, how's your Thanksgiving? But when you don't get the response you want, take it as a time to get to know better.
Yeah.
You know, and we think about putting in the home context, I mean, because this is what we do for a living, you know, homes have a big part of this for people. And when we talk about these in our buyer consults, you know, what does holidays look like for you? Mm-hmm. What do you need there? And we're assuming that they're going to want a big room to bring the family together, but they don't. Mm-hmm. We got to be sensitive to those things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
You know, and I we'll go to break right after this, but I think one of the things that I've kind of learned through dealing with people and the population and dealing with my own, you know, self and some of the experiences that I had was that the people who struggle the most to be sensitive to those around them are the ones who often no one has ever been sensitive to what they're going through. Yeah. Or, you know, the people who struggle showing humanity are the ones who have maybe not received a lot of humanity from others. And so, but you know, I don't want to end on a low note for this segment.
We have a break.
Maybe we will.
Is, you know, so whether, you know, for some people, Thanksgiving's when we were kids about the food, but when you're an adult, it's about surviving the day. And that's yeah. okay. And that's okay. So on that yeah. note, we'll take a break and take a little breathing check.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about what we're thankful for this year and maybe what Thanksgiving means beyond the table.
You know, I always love this part of Thanksgiving. It's when you truly slow down and you think, what am I thankful for?
Yeah, it's easy to forget about it and to not even think about being grateful until somebody puts you on the spot. So let's get into the real heart of it then. What are you thankful for this year?
Can we do like petty and serious?
Sure, okay. Absolutely. Let's do it.
I had a thankful yesterday. But it's so petty. And I was telling Emily.
I love being petty.
it's not that level of petty. But it's not, you're not going to be like, oh, that's a disappointment.
I'll be petty.
It feels like a commercial because we're not getting monetized for this.
Yeah.
So for me, the big things I'm grateful for, well, I don't want to go into all of them. I'll do one first to start with, is health. Mm-hmm. The journey I've been on with a very negative, unhealthy relationship with food. Now I'm feeling that harmony. I don't wake up every day stressed out about eating. Now it's more about, you know, hey, you're going to be able to eat something here. You're going to, like, last night's meal was not the most calorically small, but, you know, I enjoyed it, you know, but I wasn't freaked out about it.
Yeah.
So very grateful for that health piece. And my petty one goes into hand in hand with that. And this is so silly, and I'm embarrassed to admit it publicly, but I'm grateful that I found a clothing brand I can actually wear.
Mm.
You know, I started wearing, and again, this is like a promotion. I started wearing Fabletics stuff. I mean, this is Fabletics, the pants I have on, because I struggled with finding stuff that I like style-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Greg and Emily yesterday, I'm like, I'm just grateful for these clothes, you know, that they actually fit. It's a style I like. I bought you some suits yesterday.
Uh-huh.
They came in.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, yo, you can just wrinkle these up. It's great. So that's my, and I have a lot more I'm thankful for. Hopefully
well, speaking of clothes, you just emptied out your closet yesterday. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, gosh. They're in the back of the car as we speak right now. I've got someone coming from Buy Nothing Nashville.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Buy Nothing, go check those out to give stuff away. And we literally did a huge closet clean out because I was holding on to clothes from like 2010. Was like, maybe I'll fit back into this one day. And now I can fit back in them and I don't like them. Or they're, you know, they're old and they're not in style or whatever. So did the closet clean out yesterday. So that was a big joy. So grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot more I'm grateful for. I'll let you go. I'll let you take a break.
So I'll do a real one and a petty one as well. So the real one, the thing that I'm grateful for is I'm thankful for, it's going to sound so cheesy. I'm thankful for you.
Yay. I accept that.
Good, good. And I really do mean it. You know, I've struggled a lot with, you know, becoming a self-actualized adult. And it's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
And I'm still on that journey. And you're very patient with me. And you're very supportive of me and kind to me. And I appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Well, on the Thanksgiving season, one of our hardest talks was on our way to Alabama Thanksgiving. You and I were crossing that big bridge before the Hartzell exit to meet Greg and the kids.
Uh-huh.
And we had a really hard talk about conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to have a talk about, it was very meta, about how you handle things. Mm-hmm. And about how, because we, at those early phases of father-son relationship, there was this pushing of
no, this friction.
I'm your dad.
Yeah.
There's got to be a respect level here, but you're an adult and you have opinions too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes how you express your opinion was very different from my family and how we express opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So Thanksgiving had that piece for me of that's a core memory for me, was crossing that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And us having a knockout drag out fight.
Mm-hmm.
Over, and a lot of it had to do with some musical things that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And that piece. And so, yeah, I appreciate that you have always, I've learned with you, you're initially very resistant because that's just been a history for you. Because your history hasn't always come from a loving place. And then when you realize it's coming from a loving place, in about an hour, you're like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
You know, so I received that gratitude.
Yeah. Good, good. And then the petty thing that I'm thankful for this year. And I am going to go and be so petty right now. So,
am I going to have to edit this out?
No, don't edit it out, please. Okay. I hope they listen. I don't think they will, but I hope they do. So we work out at Planet Fitness.
Okay.
And for about 2 months now, the general manager of the Planet Fitness that we've been at has been out because, you know, she's got a husband with some health issues. She's one of our favorite people in Nashville. She's so kind. Her name's Bria. Shout out, Bria. We love you. We love you, love you, love you.
She was going to be on the fitness episode had she not been out.
I know. Sure. She was going to, you know, come and join us on the fitness episode. But, you know, the thing that we, the thing that she was out for 2 months. And she's still not back. But in that 2 months, the gym cleanliness levels kind of went down.
It did.
And it's unfortunate because we love that gym so much. And, you know, we really enjoy working out there. And it's always, especially once they had the renovation earlier this year, it got incredibly clean. You know, they had all this brand new equipment.
It was Google Street View.
And it was Google, like, you know, anybody could have come in and photo shoot there because it was amazing. And Bria was, you know, she was a workhorse, and she made sure that everyone in that gym that was working there was always doing something and staying busy and taking care of stuff. Well, she was on medical leave for the past 2 months. And so there were some newer employees that came who got kind of complacent and had just been sitting around. And, you know, you would go to check in and, you know, not even a good morning, much less acknowledgement that you're a human being standing there in front of them at the desk. Not even looking up from their cell phones to acknowledge that there's another person there. Well, last week, y'all, last week they got a new assistant general manager who's going to come in. And since she's come in, it has been a flurry of activity.
Yep.
All those people that were sitting around, they're always up cleaning, putting weights back. So it's so petty, but I'm so thankful that the gym is finally getting clean again.
So some rapid fire gratitudes. I'll do 4 or 5 in a row real fast.
Okay.
One, I'm very grateful. Esther, we were walking for 1 hour and 20 minutes the other night, and she said, I have some great adults in my life. She goes, I've got Miss Hart, I've got Maya, I've got Emily, and I've got Mimi and Papaw and you and Daddy and Zag. She was naming all these adults, Miss Brown, all these people. And so grateful for the strong people in Esther's life who continue to speak love and life into her, because that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. For Micah, all the people who pour into his drumming. I think about Dr. Rip. I think about Larry. I think about Rich Redmond. Vince Romanelli, all these people who just pour in, and you who pour into him weekly. I'm so grateful for those people. I'm so grateful for you and how you, every day I get those texts from you that say good morning, and as petty as this is, my Apple Watches that share what each other's doing all the time, and that joy of when I finished a workout, like the other day you didn't start your workout on something, so you did it while you're tearing down something. You're like, I don't want you to think I'm cheating, and that it meant enough to you to tell me that you weren't cheating on your workout.
Yeah,
and I was cleaning out the closet yesterday and had my training on, and you're like, you worked out again. Those are silly things, but I'm so grateful for them because it's connection. And then finally, grateful for just Greg's constant love of our house, and how he keeps everything together, and how he is again bashing potatoes. He's that glue that's constantly just that constant in our lives. So that'd be my rapid fire. Thank you.
So rapid fire for me would be, I'm thankful to have such an amazing mentor in this real estate industry and in you. I mean, your credentials speak for themselves. Your resume speaks for itself. I'm thankful for our church. I know it sounds cheesy to some people, especially those who have some religious trauma, but you know, finding a place where you have community and where you have people who love you unconditionally and support you and believe in you and want the best for you.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it in the world. I'm thankful for my kitty cats.
Oh, yeah.
Lily and Cosmo. You know, there are studies out there that show that the relationship that a pet owner gets with their pets is a similar physiological relationship to a parent and a child, like a biological parent and child. It does the same kind of things to your brains. You know, I'm thankful for Berwick Trail. It's such a beautiful street to walk down.
Beautiful street.
And the other thing that I'm thankful for is that every day, almost every day, Esther walks home to my house and gets to see me. And she's always so excited to see me. And it means so much to me. You know, sometimes I wish I didn't have to be there and stay at that time to be there with her, because I sometimes forget to eat lunch and it'll be like 2:15 and I'm like, oh, I need to go get some lunch. And then it's like, oh, Esther will be here in 30 minutes, so I don't have time. But the joy of seeing her walk down the street to me and come in the house and her telling me about her day, and those are just beautiful things.
So. And y'all get to hide behind.
Yeah. So every day when she comes home, when it's warm, there's light poles and there's wires that connect the lights poles to the ground and mailboxes and things like that. And as she's walking down the street, I will hide behind these things. And it's so stupid because you could clearly see me and she can clearly see me, but it just tickles her so much. And I love hearing her laugh. And so I do that so that she laughs and giggles at the end of a day.
We'll put it on our Instagram. I took a video the other day of y'all doing it. So I'll put it on our Instagram. Great. So, you know, let's talk about, you know, since we're on this thankful note, let's talk about the things we love and the traditions we love. So whether it's a food that sticks around or changes, what are the traditions that have survived for you through the years? And I know this is a tough question for you.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough question for me because, you know, my life has changed. So I've been through I've lived 800 years in the 33 years that I've been here on this planet. Yeah. And different experiences and families and cultures and regions that I've been in. You know, I think growing up, one of the things that happened on Thanksgiving was we would always watch a football game. And that's still something that I'm interested in, is watching football. I don't like to watch it live or in person, but it's fun to watch on TV, especially when you kind of understand what's going on and you get how the game is played. I love a good nap. after turkey. Love a good nap.
Every day is Thanksgiving with you.
I know. I know. You take more naps now than I do, though, actually.
My pretty little chair that I have.
But it's good, though, because that means your sleep patterns are starting to change and get better. And I don't know that I necessarily have any traditions, although I am looking for a husband, and I'm happy to build some traditions with you if you're out there listening. So,
oh Lord. Yeah, with next year's Thanksgiving episode, he'll be like, he's on my nerves so bad. But uh-huh. No. And again, my wonderful impersonation of you.
Yeah.
You know, for me, you know, we used to watch the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade every morning, but in Alabama, we, you know, they don't have that access there. So that kind of went away. We like going to movies usually on Thanksgiving night. So if there's a good opening, I like doing that. There's, you know, of course, I talked about the paper plate thing, that piece. You know, a lot of post-dinner activities there wasn't a whole lot of them. You know, football's always on, but I'm not a football fan. But there is something nice about just sitting in a big comfy chair.
Yeah.
And usually those houses that we're in, they're always like 78 to 82 degrees for some reason. Because add the oven and the, you know, the heat on inside. Me and my sister-in-laws will often sneak and open the windows.
Yeah.
Because we're burning up. And we're just like, oh, I'm dying here. The kids go out and ride ATVs down in Alabama. That's always a fun thing. And I wish I could sit here and say, I think a lot of other people who would be hosting this podcast or talking would have all these traditions, but we just don't have a whole lot because I haven't been in control of them. And then when we talk about the family episode next week, you know, I'm big about culture and everything and tradition. Uh-huh. So yeah, and that'll come out next week. You'll hear all that
stuff. What about foods? What are some of your favorite rapid fire foods at Thanksgiving? Give me like five.
Okay. Rolls,
mm-hmm.
ham,
mm-hmm.
mashed potatoes, corn, and that fifth slot's kind of hard because I'm not a turkey fan, I'm not a sweet potatoes fan, I'm not a cranberry fan. Green beans are chicken and dumplings. Oh, good Lord, chicken and dumplings, absolutely.
So I don't really think of chicken and dumplings as a Thanksgiving food. Well,
in our house, it was. I mean, it's always been a huge, huge Thanksgiving food.
Okay.
So, you know, the chicken and dumplings, that's my number five easily.
Gotcha. How about you? The five for me, rapid fire, would be macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, rolls, ham, and turkey. I like ham and turkey both.
Yeah.
I grew up with turkey being deep fried, and so it had this beautiful dark crust on the outside that was crispy and crunchy and... The turkey skin is amazing, so those are probably, you know, for me, the top five.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to go get some turkey and ham and macaroni and cheese. We'll be right back.
So we've talked about food. We've talked about memories. We've talked about things that we're thankful for, but let's be honest. The day after Thanksgiving deserves its own segment. So let's talk about Black Friday.
Is online shopping safer than going in?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Black Friday lover.
Okay.
And for me, I go alone.
Okay.
But I'm an early riser. So for me to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning is no big deal. Everybody's like, it's so early. I'm already up.
Uh-huh.
And my Black Friday is we're usually home at that point. And I will get up and I will go to Kohl's in Gallatin. And I love going to Kohl's. I love their early morning. I love the Kohl's cash. I love the fact that you get more cash as you're about to leave. And then I'll go back and buy secondary gifts off the Kohl's cash and all that. So I love doing my Christmas shopping that day. I'm already Christmas decorated at the house at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing a whole lot of that. Everything's already up at the house. So that's been up since after Halloween. I got everything up.
Yeah.
So for me, Black Friday, I do enjoy, but I'm done by 8 o'clock and I'm home. I'm usually the first through the line because I go through Kohl's really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that line will grow up to like 45-minute wait. But I go so fast through, I get my stuff I want, and then I'm straight out. And I do a lot of my holiday shopping, Christmas shopping at that point. I do some online shopping, but as you know with me, I'm shopping constantly through the year.
Yeah.
And I don't really see, you know, Black Friday shopping as we believe in gift giving all the time.
Yeah.
So for me, that's Black Friday.
Cool. I mean, for me, you know, I grew up as a kid of the 90s. I think the late 90s, mid to late 90s is really when Black Friday became the behemoth that it was. And I don't think that it is a behemoth anymore.
Yeah, it's almost lost its luster. Yeah.
But, you know, that was when Black Friday was huge. And I have vivid memories as a kid of, you know, my mom, my aunt, my grandma, the ladies in the house, because I grew up in a very traditional Southern household. You know, they would spend all day Thanksgiving cooking and cleaning, and then they'd be up on Friday at 2 a.m. to go and get gifts for everybody else. And so I remember, you know, hearing stories from them about them being in lines and some of the things that they went through in Black Friday shopping. It's never really been a big thing for me because I'm kind of, and this is going to get me in trouble here. I'm kind of anti-consumerism.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, most of the deals that are advertised, what they do is, you know, the TV will be $300 year round. And then a week before Black Friday, they'll mark the price up to $400. And then on Black Friday, they'll advertise it as being $100 off.
Yeah.
And so you think you're getting this incredible deal. But in reality, the TV has been that price all year, and you could have gotten it lower earlier in the year, too.
Or a special order electronic that is a no-name,
uh-huh,
that has got a good 3 months of life on it,
yeah,
and then it's over. So yeah.
You think it's this great TV because it says, yeah, QLOD, whatever all the acronyms are for TVs
it
these days.
It used to be that Black Friday was a big bargain day, but I just don't side on that anymore. I think, yeah, it's been ruined. The best part of Black Friday is watching the fights,
uh-huh,
when they used to happen. I remember the glory days of those. It's like a good hockey game. Yeah. It's like fight, fight, fight.
Well, it's because the way they would design the stores, yeah, they'd lay out all this junk in the middle of the floor. Yeah.
It ain't nothing worth that, y'all.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. There's no $10 off of something that is worth that.
A black eye.
Yeah, it's, yeah, just not worth it. There's never been that big of a bargain. So, you know, Black Friday, I used to love. I still like going out on my own because I just enjoy that quiet time. But, yeah, that's Black Friday.
Yeah, and nothing tests gratitude like a checkout line at 3 a.m., right? Yeah,
exactly.
So, we've talked enough about Black Friday, I think. There's, yes, it's kind of negative, and I don't want us to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me too, but definitely check out the TikToks the day after. And if, you know, if you're a kid and you're like, what are they talking about? Go look at the early 2000s, mid-2000s videos of that kind of stuff, and you'll see what, yeah, we're talking about. Because there's totally literally knockdown dragouts.
All those kids listening to this podcast right now.
I know all the youth.
Shout out to Hudson Cochran.
Hey, Hudson.
We know you're listening,
buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's wrap up this Thanksgiving episode with some Thanksgiving rathers as part of our Nashville
rathers.
Let's
do rapid fire. You want to go first?
Yeah, I will. Would you rather cook the meal or clean up?
Oh, gosh. Clean up.
Okay.
Cooking is a marathon. Mm-hmm. You've got to be in it for the long haul. Plus, I think that Greg would kick me out of the kitchen for that because he loves cooking. That's his thing. So I'll take clean up any day. For you, and I think I know this answer, pumpkin or pecan pie?
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin?
Pumpkin pie, for sure. You know, pecan pie.
What about
pie?
Pumpkin or pecan?
Oh, God, no. Not pecan pie. pecan pie is how you pronounce it, in case you're wondering. If you say pecan, you're wrong. Thank you. Love you, mean it, but you're wrong.
So pumpkin pie.
Yeah, pumpkin pie for me, for sure.
And you're just traditional pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I mean, I like pumpkin pie. I like sweet potato pie. I like egg custard pie. I like chocolate pie. I like, you know, cherry pie, blackberry pie. If it says pie and there's a fruit or a sweet in front of it, I'm good. Meat pies, not so much.
I'm gonna go with pecan.
Okay. You like pecan?
Yeah. Gotcha. Are you gonna clean up or are you gonna cook?
I would actually probably clean up too. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, one of my favorite episodes of the Great British Bake Off, there's this guy who, he had this disaster when he was trying to make his dish. And, you know, he gets to the presentation table and the judges walk over to the table and they're looking at it and they've clearly got some questions. And they're like, so tell us about your dish. And he goes, started making it, had a breakdown, bon appetit. So,
that's fine.
I feel like that's what I would experience. I would have a breakdown and it'd just be an awful meal. So
I think I know this one, but watch football or take a nap?
Probably watch football.
Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, I would probably watch. I mean, I would likely fall asleep while I was watching it. But, you know, it's something fun. And I don't watch football for the game. I watch it for the players.
Of course you do.
So
for me, I'm going to take that nap all day. You can have the last one.
Okay. Would you rather line up for Black Friday or stay home and eat leftovers?
Line up for Black Friday. I'm not going to line up really, but. Yeah, I'll go to Black Friday anytime.
Gotcha, gotcha. So,
yeah.
Well, Thanksgiving's one of those rare times, you know, where you pause long enough to think about what you're really grateful for. No matter what your table looks like this year, big, small, somewhere in between, we hope that it is full of warmth and full of food and full
maybe
of,
a little banana pudding.
Yes, still, a banana pudding.
I'm still not over the banana pudding barbecue episode. Yeah. So, but we're thankful for you for listening.
Thank you.
We're so grateful. We get the emails from y'all. We get the calls. It's so wonderful on Tuesday mornings when we drop. I always get these text messages of photos from people saying, oh, look what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
Or saying they're watching, listening to it with the kids. We had another realtor reach out yesterday and call and say, your podcast brings me great joy. Well, we're very grateful that you bring us that joy. So continue to call, email, text, follow us on Instagram, rate the podcast. It just means a lot to us.
And we'll see you next time on Nashville and Beyond. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kinnerson, MLS number 171733 with Lendingham Mortgage, is the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by Eco Leaks. Nashville and Beyond. Copyright 2025.